In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our text for today is the Gospel reading from St. Luke, which I've just read. Jesus says, "When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are safe." One of the biggest debates going on right now is how best to protect ourselves from those who would do us harm in order that we and our children might feel safe from any danger. This discussion has been going on in various forms over the years. I'm willing to bet that most of us by now have locks on our doors and on our cars. I'm guessing that many of you have safety deposit boxes in the bank which are kept under lock and key. And maybe even some of you make use of a safe in the home to put away those possessions which are of much greater value than the other things. We go to great lengths to protect our children by insisting that the doors of the school be locked during the day. And if you've traveled on an airplane since September 11th, 2001, you've seen our government's attempts to keep us safe by means of body scanners and TSA agents. We're even right now having a serious conversation nationally about how we can keep ourselves safe from those who would enter our country in order to do us harm. And so we work very hard to protect and make sure that our goods are safe. In our gospel lesson for today, Jesus tells us about this strong man who works very hard to keep his goods safe. He selects the best weapons to arm himself, to guard his palace, not unlike the things that we might do to protect ourselves. But who is this strong man, and what is he protecting? Well, this strong man is none other than the antagonist in all of the gospel lessons that we've encountered in Lent so far. He is the one that Jesus faced in the wilderness after his 40-day fast. He is the one that Jesus cast out of the Canaanite woman's daughter last Sunday. Yes, this strong man that Jesus describes is Satan himself. And the goods that he is guarding are those poor souls that are under his guard and under his key. Listen to what God's word says about sin. Jesus says in John 8, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin." Hebrews tells us that everyone living under the curse of sin are slaves, both to sin and to death. Peter, in his second epistle, tells us that those who live a life of sin are slaves to their sinful desires. And finally, St. Paul, in his letter to Titus, describes that a life under sin is a slavery to various passions and pleasures of the flesh. Slaves are bound by their masters. They must do as their masters say. They must go where their masters send them. They only eat when their masters allow it. Slaves are totally subjected to the whims and the desires of their masters. To a certain degree, people can be slaves to their jobs or their habits too. But Satan is a much harsher taskmaster. Indeed, he pretends to be your friend like he did with Eve. He offers us something that appears good to us, something that God is withholding from us in his law. Whatever our desires may be, whether they be money, pleasures of the flesh, or hatred, we become enslaved to those things with no hope of escape. We must work harder and harder and longer hours in order to chase that extra dollar, no matter what it might cost our marriages and our families. We must get one more look at that young woman on the magazine rack at the grocery store or on the television. We must hold on to those sins that have been committed against us, for to forgive would be unthinkable. We're not always enslaved by tangible things either. even our emotions. Thoughts of despair, worry about any number of things can make it seem as if God himself has abandoned us and does not hear our cries for mercy. We want to feel God's love so much that we want to know that it's true, all the while forgetting that our emotions are fickle things, and even worse, that our emotions are indeed subject to the fall into sin. And so the devil seeks to keep you bound in your sins. He wants to rob you of the comfort and peace of knowing that Christ has indeed forgiven you all your sins. He wants you to doubt what God has done for you and that what God has said to you is true. He wants you to think that Christ died for the sins of the whole world, but your sins, he wants you to think, are too awful to forgive. But they have placed you outside of the boundaries of God's mercy. Through his fiendish lies and accusations, Satan seeks to keep you under lock and key, enslaved in his kingdom. And as we sang in our first hymn, "And here my tongue he bindeth, that God it shall not praise. And there my eyes he blindeth, to hide the light of grace. Now he my ears doth close, to hinder me from hearing the gospel sound so sweet and cheering and soothing in my woes." Satan is armed to the teeth. As we sing with Luther, "With might of ours cannot be done, soon were our loss effected. No power on earth exists among mortal man that can equal the might of Satan." And so he is the strong man who jealously guards those souls under his control as his most precious possession. But Jesus describes in this text another man, a stronger man. This stronger man attacks the strong man and overcomes him. He takes away his armor in which he trusted, and he divides his spoil. This stronger man is none other than our Lord of hosts, Jesus Christ himself. He plays the role of the stronger attacking man in our gospel lesson. He robs the devil of what is rightfully his by the fall into sin. For you are indeed unworthy of God's saving work. You have by your works earned death and hell forevermore. But Christ is the stronger man who disarms and binds Satan, and like a conquering hero, takes the spoils of the battle. Jesus wins this battle over the strong man because his weapons and armor are far superior, and he has the element of surprise. The element of surprise is that he came not as a conquering warlord, but as the son of a virgin and the adopted son of a carpenter. His weapons are not of a conventional nature. He did not come with sword or spear, but he came with his word as he drove away Satan in the wilderness. He came in great weakness, being wounded by a Roman whip and crucified on a Roman cross. But in the body that was broken and the blood that he shed were the power to destroy the works of Satan himself. By those things, Jesus defeated the strong man and bound him and cast him into hell. But for us fights the valiant one, whom God himself elected. Ask ye who is this? Jesus Christ it is. In the cross, Jesus died to win freedom from sin, from death, and from the power of the devil for the whole world. As Jesus hanged from the cross, he was casting out Satan from heaven and crushing him under his heel forevermore. And this victory, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, is yours in the waters of holy baptism. For there in the font where you renounced the devil, all his works and all his ways, Jesus performed an exorcism on you. He cast out the devil and unbound your lips to sing his praise. He restored your sight to see the light of his grace. And he unstopped your ears to hear the sweet sounds of the preaching of the free forgiveness of sins found in the gospel. What he accomplished on the cross for the whole world, he delivered to you in your baptism. But why does Jesus then include this strange warning about the return of unclean spirits? Though Satan is defeated, the scriptures say that he is still a prowling lion, seeking to devour any who would wander away from the security of Christ. Satan cannot pull you away from Jesus' hand, but it is possible for the Christian to reject the salvation that Christ freely gives. If we neglect the hearing of God's word and the reception of his gifts that he gives to us in the Lord's Supper, we risk falling back into the slavery of Satan, and our soul will be in greater peril than ever before. As Jesus describes, "Then it goes and brings seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they enter and dwell there, and the last state of that person is worse than the first." We are not once saved, always saved, or even once confirmed, always saved. But instead, blessed are you who today hear the word of God and keep it. In this respect, you have a greater blessing than the one whose womb bore the Savior and whose breast nursed the Christ child. Though Mary is indeed blessed among women, and she shall be remembered from generation to generation, Jesus says of you, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Indeed, you are blessed beyond measure, for in hearing this word today, God has bid the old evil foe to depart from you. In your baptism, he joined his word to the water in the font, and he cast away the unclean spirit from you. And indeed, he gave you the gift of his Holy Spirit. In the absolution that he spoke over you this morning, he forgave you all your sins in that same triune name that he placed upon you in the font, where he drowned all your sins and the accusations of the devil in your baptismal waters. Soon, you will join his word to the bread and the wine here on the altar, where he causes his body and blood to be located for the forgiveness of your sins and to strengthen you in your faith. As if these blessings are not enough to remove sin's poison dart and silence the devil's lies, God will send you out from this place one more time, placing his holy name upon you in the benediction. Because the word of God and the means of grace are given by God to forgive you and to strengthen you in your fight against Satan and to keep him in his kingdom of sin and death, you may be certain that by them Jesus has bid Satan to depart from you forevermore. You are indeed free from these things that Satan uses to lure you away from God. For you are not the ones that live by bread alone, but you live by every word that comes from the mouth of your heavenly Father. You are free from the accusations of the devil that tell you that you are unworthy of God's grace. So when Satan throws your sins in your face and declares that you deserve nothing but death and hell, tell him this: I admit that I deserve death and hell, but what of it? For I know one who suffered and made satisfaction on my behalf. And his name is Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God. And where he is, there I will be also. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.